There are serious concerns from victims campaigners over a consultation from the Northern Ireland office on proposed requirements for victims injured during the Troubles. So basically, this is for the victims' pensions and those payments that would be made. The regulations to enable those payments must be finalised by the end of January next year. But there are concerns over dates that qualify and whether people injured in the Republic will be included. Let's speak to the victims' campaigner, Kenny Donaldson from Innocent Victims United. Good morning to you, Kenny.
Good morning, Tony.
Give us a little bit more context for this. So it's the dates that things have to fall within, and obviously if it happened, for example, the Dublin or the Monaghan bombing, you may be excluded. Tell me more.
Yes, well, I suppose, Tony, the important issue to say is that nothing is set in stone presently. However, the way that the consultation is actually designed, it refers as a suggestion that the eligibility period would elapse at the 10th of April 1998, so therefore the Belfast Agreement date. So anything that happened thereafter would not be considered, and that would include the Omagh bombing, would include the likes of the attack on Petr Heflin, it would include instances such as the Mazarine attacks and the serious injuries that were sustained there. And then it would also, of course, include those Republic of Ireland citizens whom were attacked by terrorists who came from this side of the border and whom caused significant injury to those individuals.
In this consultation, one of the questions, question 9, is should the suggested time frame be those injured from the 1st of January 1966 to the 10th of April 1998? Where would you put that date, Kenny?
I believe that that data is ongoing, Vinny, because the crude terminology that's used is that the Troubles is commonly accepted to be over that period. The Troubles haven't ended in Northern Ireland. The Troubles, yes, are at a different level of intensity, but they have not ended. And since 1998, we've had a number of murders committed by terrorists over the period of the last 20 years.
As you said yourself, Kenny, this is at consultation stage, so these dates have not been confirmed. But obviously you are concerned that this might be what happens in the end.
Well, I think the concern actually exists because you imagine if you're in the position of someone from Omagh or you are a victim of the Dublin bomb, for instance. Essentially what you're being told is, this is what we're minded to do, folks. Now you make a strong enough argument to have yourselves opted back, or sorry, to have yourselves included.
Yeah.
So there's almost a situation moment where people are out of the process. Now there needs to be a clamour and a strong argument made to have them included.
Okay.
That should not be the case.
Well, Claire Monteith is with us. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning, how are you?
Your brother, Alan Radford, was killed in the Omagh bomb and your mum was badly injured. As Kenny puts it there, there's initial exclusion until, you know, it says here, if you answered no to the date question, what alternative dates would you propose to determine eligibility? How do you feel about that?
Well, I do feel that it has been highly insensitive for anybody who has been murdered past the time of the Belfast Agreement. I don't think that there should be a time limit when it comes to victims of terrorism in this country. As Kenny had said there has been, yes, lower levels of murders since the Good Friday Agreement, but there has been ongoing terrorist activity. I don't believe that we live in peace times and far from it. And I don't think that there should be any victim excluded from this time frame at all that they have proposed.
Of course, many would make the argument, as you are, Claire, that death is death and injury is injury, and to put time frames around that could be perceived as insensitive. However, the NIO have sent us a statement. They say that the government is very sensitive to the fact that terrible atrocities, including the Omagh bomb, took place outside what is commonly considered to be the Troubles period. That is why we are consulting on this issue, and we want to hear and consider all views. We have included a specific question within the consultation on date parameters of this scheme, and there is no predetermined timescale for this scheme. Again, though, it does take us back, Claire, to why that time frame has been put in there initially instead of maybe starting the conversation, the consultation at a wider frame. Eddie O'Neill is also with us. Good morning to you, Eddie.
Good morning, how are you?
Not too bad, Eddie. Thanks for taking a call. You were injured in the 1974 Dublin bomb. So as things stand, unless changes are made from this consultation, which there could well be, you would also be excluded.
Absolutely. I mean, my first reaction when I found out about it was just complete shock. Troubles were a countrywide conflict. They didn't stop at the border. The people who came to Dublin, and I made the point to an official in the Northern Ireland office, the people who came to Dublin at that time were members of the RUC and the UDR, and they were masquerading as members of the Middle Ulster Brigade of the UVF. So as it stands then, at the very least, the Northern Ireland office owe people in the Republic of Ireland a duty of care to take care of their medical needs for the rest of their life. I mean, on the 19th of November of this month, I will be having my 55th surgical procedure to remove a bit of shrapnel out of my back.
And this is from 1974. You were 5 years old, and even in 2019, yes, there's still regular operations. I think it's really important that because we can talk about numbers all day long, but I think until we actually visualise what people went through, tell me what happened to you, Eddie.
I was exiting a barber's with my brother, my father. We basically walked into the bomb. My father was killed instantly. I was blown across the road. My brother was found in a different part of the street. Part of a building which was damaged actually fell on top of me. I was dug out from rubble. And it still happens.
Yeah.
Around.
And it's, I'm almost lost for words, Eddie, because it's such a horrendous thing to go through. And I assume for someone in your position, and the same for you, Claire, that it's never ending. You know, this is not something that does get better. And the extended delays, the process that this Troubles Pension has gone through for some time now is just a constant reminder.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to come back to that?
Yeah, please, Claire.
It is just, people need to understand, just because of this, these things have happened very much long ago, we live with this daily. Every single day of our lives has been moulded and sculpted around what has happened. We choose to get up every day, step forward and try and move on in a country that is adamant on appeasing terrorism. That is the way that it feels to be a victim of somebody who has been so greatly affected by the events that happens in this country. For my children, I still grow up somewhere, bring them up in a country where it seems to be okay to go out and murder and maim people. It is not okay. This is morally wrong on every level. And there's not another country in the world that I have looked at where they accept the things that have been accepted here. And I want it to end. I don't want victims to continue to be victimized on a daily basis, like the likes of this consultation. There should not be a time frame on anybody who's been a victim of terrorism, north or south of the border, in the time frame that they call the Troubles.
Eddie,
it has not ended.
Eddie,
and like Eddie has said there, he has still has to go through medical procedures to try and better his life from what he's been damaged from.
And Eddie was 5 years, you were 5 years old at the time, so this is something that has dominated almost your entire life. Eddie, when people, we talk about different areas, so the Dublin or the Monaghan bombings and what happened in Northern Ireland, have you had any conversations with the government in the South in terms of what they can do or what they're offering to do to try and help?
Well, you see, here's the thing. People like me are basically the dirty little secret of the government in the South. They don't want to have anything got to do with us. I was telling Kenny there before that I can't even get a medical card down in the South because, believe it or not, the last time I tried to apply for one, I was told, and I quote, "Oh, you must have got millions in compensation from the government over that. They wanted me, and I'm going to quote verbatim what they said to me. They wanted 20 years of bank statements. They wanted my own bank statements and a statement from every other bank operating in the country that I didn't have a bank account with them before they would even consider giving me a medical card. They've done everything that they can to try and frustrate and obfuscate any application. And you know what? I actually think it's deliberate. I genuinely, honestly think it's deliberate. I don't want to be treated any differently than anybody else. I just want to be treated the same as everybody else.
We did contact the Department of Foreign Affairs in the South, in the Republic, and we're just waiting to hear back from there. Let me just bring in Doug Beattie at this point, if I can, UUP. Doug, it's difficult to listen to the likes of Claire and Eddie, and obviously some of these things happened some time ago, but it's still very fresh in their mind, in their body, in the example of Eddie there. And it just it makes it all very difficult to swallow, these continued delays and issues.
Yeah, it is difficult, but it's incredibly important to listen to the likes of Eddie and Claire. And there's hundreds more like them out there. And it doesn't matter whether they live within the United Kingdom or they live outside of the United Kingdom. If they are victims of this terrorist campaign that we had in here in Northern Ireland, then they should be part of the scheme. And that includes those who suffered in Germany, those in the Netherlands, the Australian citizens who were left traumatised when they watched their loved ones being murdered. Of course, Dublin and Monaghan. And, you know, we need to really recognise that this conflict, as people want to call it, this terrorist campaign, really did stretch well beyond the geographical borders of Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom. It's touched many, many lives, and we have to recognise that. And I have to say this, and I say this in good grace, that there is a moral responsibility for the Irish government here to either set up a mirror scheme or buy into the Northern Ireland scheme, because many of the atrocities that took place emanated from the Irish Republic. Many of the victims live in the Irish Republic. So I think this has got to be wider than just here in Northern Ireland, an NIO scheme. As for the date, you know, they've plucked the date out and they've stuck it in the consultation, not really.
Have they? Is that totally fair? Have they? Because I guess they maybe thought there needed to be some kind of date perimeters in there, and they've gone for, you know, the signing of the Belfast Agreement, the Good Friday Agreement. You know,
but that's you know, you can't have that. No conflict ends with the signing of a document. It always carries on. They know it always carries on, and they've just used this, and it's simple to use this. And I understand why they've used this. Don't get me wrong, but it is hurtful. And I think you've heard from everybody on this here, and it's not one person speaking today that I can't disagree with. And that is that there shouldn't be an end date here. We should be looking at people like Petra Heffron, you know, the Omer victims. We should be looking at those from Dublin and Monaghan and further afield. We should be looking at the family of Paul Quinn, who have suffered grievously through terrorism. And it was terrorism when they murdered their son. So I think it needs to be well beyond 1998. I think it needs to be ongoing. I think the government needs to acknowledge it needs to be ongoing until we settle this issue that we have here in Northern Ireland and further afield.
Kenny, are you concerned that an election, for example, or this issue over the date could delay things even further?
I'd like to hope not, because I think, Vinny, where we come from on this is we had a Stormont House agreement or disagreement, however you look at it. And the point was that within that agreement, supposedly the cornerstone was that there was to be a collaborative approach taken by Dublin, Belfast and London in terms of how victims and survivor issues would be dealt with. I'm saying this morning that it's not the responsibility of Claire or Eddie to find resolutions to this. It's the responsibility of those administrations. And wherever the finance comes from, and I'm 100% in the same corner as Doug Beattie on this particular issue, the Republic of Ireland state also needs to stump up. And that includes not only in terms of issues connected with reparations, but also in terms of the justice and truth and accountability needs of all victims and survivors impacted.
Yeah, just to go back to something that Eddie had mentioned in terms of, obviously, if you were in the Republic of Ireland when you were injured or when you were hurt or killed, you believe, Kenny, that there should be a bit of a collaborative effort between both governments, that maybe one scheme that both are paying into?
100%. Because, I mean, the reality of this is whenever the Stormont House Agreement was being, I suppose, consulted upon. I was at one particular meeting where the Department of Foreign Affairs referred to the issue of legacy and the proposals coming forward from the NIO as the proposals of a foreign government. That's how they referred to it. They don't understand or don't wish to accept that there are two states involved in this particular issue. Both have got responsibilities, and only whenever the Republic of Ireland state finally faces up to theirs can we have any level of equality of treatment of people. That's a cornerstone of what IVU is about, equality of access for all innocent victims and survivors of terrorism, wherever they happen to live.
Okay, Kenny Donaldson, thank you very much. Claire Monteith, thank you, and Eddie O'Neill as well.